The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. We are live at the KCNR radio station downtown, 96.5 FM, and the lines are open at 530-605-4566 or 67. And today we have surprise guests, Jenny and Benjamin Nguyen. Hey. Welcome.
Hi.
Nice to be here.
And we also have co-host Shay.
Whoop, whoop.
And I'm Jessica. So tonight we brought in Jenny and Benjamin because there was quite a fiasco at the Board of Supervisors meeting today. And so we decided to reschedule and designate our first half of our show to talk to you guys about what happened.
Wow.
So.
Give us the lowdown.
Yeah. So let's start with, let's just start. What was today about for you two? Why were you there?
Well, I was there for the appointment to be, because I was nominated to the Elections Commission. I was Tim Garman's nomination. I was, you know, fairly confident that I wasn't going to get it. I've been very outspoken to this board for quite some time, but I thought I would, you know, give it my best shot and you know, state from my perspective what I really want to do is essentially foster a kind of a balanced government as opposed to, you know, one ideological side taking over everything. I believe that that's the biggest issue in our government right now is we have 50 plus 1 gets 100%, and this is not tenable for the future of our country, for our county, and that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be – I was hoping that maybe I could be the voice that's like, look, I'm gonna not agree with you, but we're gonna work together and figure out how we can do this together. That's what I wanted.
Right.
Yep. That's what we all
want. And you would have been a great voice, I feel. You or Jenny, actually.
Yeah.
Because both of you are so well spoken. You have a difference of opinion, and you could have represented the people that aren't being represented right now. And it's really unfortunate that you were not selected. Because what ended up happening? Let's talk about the vote first.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody caught the video, it cuts out abruptly, right before the vote is supposed to happen, and it's because I'd given a speech earlier where I'd stated my goals. You know, I wanted to create a mission statement because I felt that the Election Commission didn't have like a clear direction. I wanted to, you know, figure out the laws behind, you know, drop boxes and how many we could legally get away with getting rid of, and
right.
To make the other side happy and then maybe put some videos on them. I was just kind of laying out what I wanted to do. And I'm not sure I was that specific in that speech, but really it was about uniting and trying to come together and figure out a way where we could work together. So anyways, cut to board discussion. Cry recuses himself and states that I know the reason, which I could not imagine what it is. I mean, I am a county employee. I was there as a private citizen that day, so I don't know how that would be relevant, but clearly he knows something I don't. I do know that in the rules, they're supposed to state the reason they recuse, and stating that I know the reason isn't a reason.
Right.
Kellstrom recuses himself, which is really crazy,
right.
because I didn't expect that. However, he had sent text messages, which essentially stated he wanted to physically harm me,
right.
For a video expose I did regarding Patrick Jones' gun range and conflicts of interest.
Didn't he say he should have punched you in the face and taken your lunch?
Yes, my lunch money.
Lunch money. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he wanted to take him out back and take his lunch money.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So right after that happened.
So I was not paying attention when he recused himself. So what did he actually say?
So Jenny actually heard him better than I. I was kind of in the zone at that moment. What did he say, Jenny?
So it was actually Tim Garman who brought up the fact that if anyone should recuse themselves, it should be Chris Kallstrom for those text messages. And then he said that he would take all Chris Kallstrom said is, I'm going to take that advice. I'm going to take that advice, and I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Which, you know.
I honestly respect that decision. If he feels like he hates you that much, that he wants to threaten you with violence, then it's pretty good decision to not to not make his vote.
Yeah. So I don't begrudge him for that. What happened right after that is where things began to become really contentious. Patrick Jones, who was, you know, the one remaining from the original, you know, that board majority, the extreme right, and he basically stated, I do not want somebody on this board, or he basically stated, someone shouldn't be on this board who wants to tear it apart,
right.
Who wants to bring it down. And I had never once publicly stated that.
Right.
I've never once I've had maybe a couple of private conversations where I felt that I didn't feel that financially it was a worthwhile, you know, venture for the county.
Right.
But, you know, we all sort of kind of quickly changed our tune when Tom Toller became the ROV. It went, okay, well, maybe having a watchdog in that particular commission could be helpful.
Well, and also especially when they're the other people that are representatives are not representing all of the people.
Yeah.
Because even though I think that the commission is pointless and that it should be shut down, I still think that if it's going to continue, it should be fair representation.
Yeah. Well, and beyond that, the commission's creation was sort of a solution search of a problem. We didn't know if there was any election fraud, although it was pretty clear that we hadn't had any. But I can understand, you know, people in the community feeling concerned about that and wanting to have a commission, you know, look into it deeper. But I'm looking at it from this angle. Now that we have, you know, three ideologically, you know, very hard right kind of election deniers.
That was the goal all along.
Oh, no, I believe that. But yeah. what I'm saying is
yes.
what's happened is that mm-hmm. distrust that the community felt. It's
yes.
just flipped who it is.
Yes, yes.
It's still distrust, but now
yeah.
it's the other 50% or other 60%
yes.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, he basically lies about what I said, Patrick Jones. He states that I want to destroy the commission. It's not any way, shape, or form what I wanted to do. Several members of the audience stand up. I actually don't quite understand what's happening. I'm, you know, on my best behavior. They start, you know, yelling and screaming and arguing with the board. As Patrick Jones is speaking, I sort of raise my hand and I say, may I speak?
Mm-hmm.
I ask very respectfully because I believe mm-hmm. as a board member, I think they can say, you are allowed to address us if we let you.
Right.
And I thought mm-hmm. that would be a good faith. You know, like if you're going to make statements about me, about mm-hmm. why I want to, you know, what I want to do, I should be able to respond.
Absolutely. Especially when you're an applicant and there's a vote about to happen.
Yeah, and he said no, and so I sat back down. And when Tim started speaking, I thought, okay, maybe I'll ask Tim if I can speak. And I did. I sort of said, Tim, he's in the zone. He's not listening to me. So I kind of give up. I'm actually like, this is, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be the person that causes the issue, so I'm going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
Several members of the audience stand up and start screaming on my behalf. And now I feel responsible for what's happening.
Right.
So they shut the microphones off, and I run over to where the microphone is. Even though it's off, I'm like, I basically at the top of my lungs. You can ask my wife. I'm a very very loud person, so
very
this is
loud.
Not like a stretch for me. I go up there and I say, I just give like a speech from the bottom of my heart about like what I actually wanted to accomplish, and that you know I do have a good faith argument for what I'm trying to accomplish and what I want to do on the commission. And I'm not here to blow it up.
Right.
But also, I also state, I find it kind of hypocritical that individuals who believe in smaller government, mm-hmm. who want to tear government down, get into government and basically do that thing and
yep.
then use that argument against me to state, yep. we don't let people on commissions that destroy things.
100%.
That's insane because
right.
it's literally what he is doing.
Yep.
But it's not what I was doing.
Right.
I think he just thinks everyone thinks like him.
So Jenny,
Jenny took offense to that.
At what point, Jenny, did you decide I'm going to take some action here?
I wasn't really going to do anything, but I hear the lawyer clear the room, and they're like, we're just going to calm this down. We're going to calm this down, and then we're going to bring everybody back. And we're going to continue the meeting. And something in me was like, why? Like, continue the meeting for what? So that Patrick Jones can talk over us, so that he can lie to constituents, so that he can lie about constituents. I mean, the man that called me stupid and called Nate a terrorist, and he obviously has no respect for us, and he never has, and he's never suffered any sort.
No consequences.
Right. A consequence for that.
Not at all.
And, you know, really, look at just past things. Like, I don't even have to talk about this. Anyone who's been really paying attention, like really paying attention, just go back to 2021 when he was first trying to take over the board before they got Modi recalled, during the Modi recall. You can see his disrespect for his fellow board members, for the constituents, that it's he has his small few that he's okay with, and everybody else, he just doesn't care.
And that's the majority of that board now.
Yes. And if you don't, you don't toe the company line, you are out of that board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say the quiet part out loud all the time. For Kellstrom to say to you, I want to punch you and take your lunch money, he's literally saying, I'm a bully. That's what I'm here for. And when you're sitting in a position like that, you have to.
To be fair, he did not send that text message to me. He sent it to a constituent.
Which is, probably
worse. I think actually worse.
It was about your news. It was about your news.
I produced a news segment about conflicts of interest for Patrick Jones' gun range, which I do believe hold weight. Now, they it wasn't stating that, like, this is illegal and he should go to jail. What it was stating is these are possible things that are potentially illegal, and you should look into this, you know, anybody watching the news.
Yeah.
And I think that's what news is.
It is. We actually have to take a break already. So we're going to pause, and we'll be right back. We are open for calls, so give us a call at 530-605-4566 or 67, and let's chat with Benjamin and Jenny when we get back. Be right back.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
For almost a half a century, Goldleaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. On sale now, all tomatoes, peppers, cantaloupe, and watermelon plants are half price right now. Hurry in for the best selection. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, crepe myrtles, and majestic trees, along with roses and ground coverings. All 1 gallon or larger are all on sale, and all bag soil amendments. Don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Goldleaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Come check them out. The easiest way to find them is on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road, across the street from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Open Tuesday through Saturday. You don't want to miss this sale.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back. Shasta Unmasked, live on KCNR, Downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, 530-605-4566 or 67. We are open to take calls. Do we have any calls? No? Oh, just... We have one caller that we're not speaking to these days, so we'll leave him alone for a while. Maybe he'll, you know, pull it together one day. So we're back. Okay. So Jenny, continue telling us the story of the day.
So really, I mean, it's not much of a story to just, you know, sit and find peace in Zen in a difficult situation. And really, that's all I did, right? Was just, you know, sit back for a minute and like reflect while things happened. Anyone who wants to see, there were plenty of news sources that recorded it, so I'm sure any of you who are curious about what happened during that break, it's on KRCR, it's on Donnie's News Cafe, it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty much the news of the day. I there were so many cameras in that room.
Yes, yes.
So where do we leave off?
Well... Oh, so where we left off? I don't. So after the vote, so because they actually pulled Jenny out, they actually carry her out of the room.
Yes.
Head back in.
Lots of pictures.
I actually head back in because I know that they're going to take that vote, and I want to be there for it.
Right.
So I'm there, and of course I know what's going to happen. But what I find interesting is they vote 2-1. So it's Mary Rickert. Mary Rickert, Tim Garman, voting for, and then Patrick Jones voting against. And so there was a little bit of a misunderstanding in that room, including by myself, because I thought a simple majority meant it, 2-1 meant that I would be appointed.
Right.
So there is actually a California statute or a law. It's part of like Rosenberg's Rules of Order, but it's like specific to California. And it states that it has to be a simple majority in California has to be a majority of the board, regardless of how many people are there.
Mm.
So, like, for example, if three people are there,
right,
it has to be all three.
Okay.
So if there was four, it could be 3-1. If it's five, it can be 3-2.
Did they explain that to you?
No. No, they didn't. However, right before the vote, they I believe Patrick Jones clarified with the lawyer, which tells me this was sort of planned. Because in between the vote and when we had our board discussion, when they came back, there was a before your recess, the unplanned recess, there was a planned recess. And right before that planned recess, they went out and they started talking. They came back, and I think this plan sort of coalesced.
Mm-hmm.
So it allowed them to basically state, oh, you don't have the simple majority based on the rules,
right,
California state regulation, which I think is funny. These individuals hate California regulations so much, but when they find a law that works for them.
Yeah, right? The hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So we only have 5 minutes, so we're going to take a call real quick. We have Nathan on the phone.
Yeah.
Woo. Nathan, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, we only have 5 minutes, so if you could make it quick, that would be great.
Yeah, totally. So I was just calling in to, say that, welcome, Ben. It's ridiculous, that we try to get a little bit of, representation for our side on this commission because it has to exist.
Yes.
And it just seems like they just are going to try to find and come up with and be manipulative and find any way to not let someone who simply has a different set of ideologies mm-hmm. be able to represent the community on that board.
It's political retaliation.
Tim Garman, it is. It's retaliation. We challenge them. We oppose them. I believe they were afraid of you for the same reason that they were afraid of me.
Yes.
Because we're not afraid to speak out, and we come with facts and logic, and we're well-spoken.
We pay attention.
We pay attention, and they know that. They know that we're dangerous to their agenda, simply because we challenge it the way that we do. So I don't know if Tim's going to pick anybody else. I hope he keeps trying.
So I do have something to say about that. So it has been discussed several times, and I do expect it to show up on the board at some point, that they are talking about revisiting how appointments are made. Mm. And it was sort of a roundabout sort of discussion, but the way that it sounded to me was that they were going to, if no one appoints, they can then the rest of the board majority can appoint, which sort of makes sense, unless you take into account what if they're blocking everybody.
They're just going to pick two more people
that believe in election denial. Yeah, but anyway, so I'll let you guys finish up your show. Thanks for letting me call in.
And
congratulations again, Jenny. I'm so proud of you for your protest today. That was amazing. Thank you very much.
Bye, Nathan. So I wanted to get in that last piece, Jenny, about the real reason for your what are we calling it? Peaceful civil disobedience.
Yes.
Why is it important? Why did you feel that was important? And if you could tell all of the constituents what you think should happen moving forward, what would that be?
Here's the deal. At one point, our district supervisor Patrick Jones is going to have to realize that he's going to have to find some humility and some humanity and apologize and be a human being for once, because I'm sure I'm not the last one who will do this.
Right.
And that's that.
Yeah. That's true. Humility, just to say, I'm sorry for doing something wrong. I mean, Patrick, you've got a lot of months left to sit in that boardroom. And it is important. He's made some mistakes. He needs to own up to it. If there's any way forward for all of us through these next months, I feel like a lot of that has to be happening, and not just from him, but thinking about the constituents that do not align with you directly. You need to be speaking for everybody and doing your best to represent everyone. It looks like we may have a caller, so if we do, no caller, just kidding. Okay, so anything else you want to throw out there before we end our first half of our show?
I just like to say that this is a really, really tough time in our community. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, I like to stray away from talking about, like, national politics, but that's having an effect locally here, too.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I believe that the only way out of this, and I know people say it all the time, and it's kind of a cliche, but we have to work together.
Yeah.
And I just there are individuals on the board that I feel are going to be very apprehensive towards ceding any power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's just, we're just going to have to take it.
We talked about this a little bit last time at the last show last week. We talked about Matt Plummer's statement, his email that he put out about people needing to come together and all of that, and
yeah,
how, you know, for some of us it's more difficult than others.
I agree.
For me personally, it's very difficult. I mean, when you've gone through years of not being represented by your by your county supervisors, when you're seeing, we're going to go into our next half of our show and talk about AB 1955 and extremists trying to take over our school boards, and when you see this whole just crumbling of dominoes coming towards you, and to sit there and not do anything about it seems impossible.
Yeah.
And so personally I have decided that when November gets here and elections are over, I'm going to do my best to work with everyone that I can after that.
And, that's all
and until then, I'm going to be fighting my behind off, because I can't say bad words, and fighting for what I believe is right. So that's my personal opinion. It is now time for a break. Thank you guys so much for coming in, for giving us your time. We appreciate you. And when we come back, we'll be here with Christy from Our Schools USA, and we're going to be discussing AB 1955 and Anderson's threat to not follow the law.
It just ain't the same. Always new change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace are so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs. Chemical gas is filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. It was bound to happen. We received several calls from vehicle owners that have had their cars repaired at the big box body shops. They were not satisfied with the repairs. They were told by their insurance company they had no choice to who was to repair their vehicle. This is not true. Big box body shops have such a large influence in the industry, unsatisfied customers have little or no effect on the customer base.
Hey Coachmaster, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you...
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back, guys. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are now on the line with Christy Hirst, founder of Our Schools USA. Hi, Christy. Can she hear us? Is she on?
I am.
Okay, perfect.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, boy, what a day. This has been.
It's been a day. It's been a week. It's been a year.
I was just going to say, what a week, what a year.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
the news cycle is a lot everywhere.
For sure. So, AB 1955 passed just a week ago. And since then,
Is it really only been a week?
I think it's only been a week. And here we are with lawsuits coming in left and right. So, Christy, tell us a little bit about Our Schools USA and why you're on the show tonight.
So, first I'll start off by saying I am a parent in Chino Valley Unified School District. So that's sort of, for those who are not familiar, we are the district where this sort of forced outing policy started in the state of California. Mm-hmm. And my school board was taken over in 2022, that election cycle. Mm-hmm. And so we have a 4-1 majority, where the four of them, three especially, are quite extreme. Mm-hmm. I would call them Christian nationalists. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, like, I had been really involved in the school board campaigning, and, you know, I had watched as my now school board president was getting all this help. You know, like, she was going to the Leadership Institute training, and I didn't know who they were at the time, by the way.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, where's our side? Who's helping us? Right. And I'm searching and I'm searching and, like, I'm finding nothing. I reach out to my friends who are, like, you know, sort of civically involved, and there's nothing for school boards. So we keep pressing on, you know, trying with our grassroots organizing like we always have done. Mm-hmm. And then we lose two seats. And during the campaign season, I have been helping my co-founder, Christina Gagne, was seeking re-election. She was our former school board president. Mm-hmm. And I had been campaigning with her, and we worked well together, and we both brought very different skill sets to the table. And, you know, after she lost, I said, you know, I would really love to keep working together. So I think that there's, you know, help needed here that we could provide. And, you know, these communities on the ground who are working to get their school board, like pro public education school board members elected, don't have resources and support mm-hmm. that those sort of that are anti-public school have.
Right.
And so her and I, you know, we started off thinking, oh, we'll do something like regional or statewide. But, you know, we came very quickly to see that this was not a region issue. It was not a state issue. It was a national issue.
Yep.
That the same exact things happening in Chino were happening in New Jersey and were happening in Indiana and were happening in Pennsylvania. And so, you know, obviously we knew sometimes in Florida and Texas we're having these issues. So, you know, it was really we're completely grassroots, and we kind of come in, and I like to call us sort of campaign managers for communities.
Right.
We kind of come in resource communities and give them tools they need or advice, like based on what's happening in their area. So they come to us, and whatever issues they're having or whatever they want to advocate for, you know, we come in and look at everything surrounding their exact scenario and give them, you know, information, resources, training, the kind of tips to use, the kind of things that sort of like hopefully what the Leadership Institute is doing, but really individualized.
Like, you know, just being able to talk to people that are in other areas where these same things that when you're just local, you're thinking this is completely insane.
Yes.
And you're the only one. And then to know that you're not alone is both terrifying and and comforting.
Well, we have spoken, Christy, you and I have spoken because we had the privilege to testify together in favor of AB 1955 in Sacramento. But whoever would have thought that people would want to get on a school board to destroy public education? Like, that was not something to prepare for.
Right.
No.
I felt totally like we were on our heels.
I didn't realize the depths that how deep it went, right? Like, you know, I knew about Moms for Liberty probably sooner than most people.
Yeah, I did not follow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I followed Emily in Your Phone. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's like an online Dem influencer, I'd call her. And she was talking about them. And I'm like, oh, this is who my board president is meeting with. Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. And it was not well known nationally, though. You know what I mean? And I remember, like, when I first started the organization talking to people, I couldn't really say they want to destroy public education without looking like I was wearing a tinfoil hat.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really clear that's what they want to do, right?
Yeah.
Super clear. It's everywhere. It's like the first line of Project 2025's education chapter, literally. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really clear. And I think that it is scary because they're the closest they've probably been since they've been working towards this, which is a really, really long time.
And AB 1955 only protects our students from one angle, mm-hmm. one aspect of this. And everybody worked so hard just to get to this. And you are finding the same thing in your area where the school board chairs and the school board members are saying, well, too bad. We were saying you can't stop us from having these policies because there's no law against it. And so we said, okay, we're going to go make a law against it.
Exactly.
And then they said, well, we're still not going to do it.
Right.
They are doubling down and saying now, like, our board chair put out a notice on Facebook and then was interviewed by several people that she will not comply. And there are others on the board that are in lockstep with her saying they will not comply with this new law.
And she didn't just say that she would not comply. She said she was representing Anderson Union High School District and that they would not comply.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then individually another board member posted on Facebook also, I will not comply, and created a whole TikTok video about it. And to me, there's misinformation being spoken
about it.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Yeah.
So even like I'm watching the Washington Post have inaccurate headlines.
Yeah, right? The headlines that schools are now banning parents from knowing what's going on with their students.
And it's because it's convoluted. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people don't, even the reporters, don't understand.
Yeah.
They don't understand where it even came from. All they think is, oh, there's this law overstepping government. Why do we need a law to tell us what school boards can and can't do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I'm sorry, but they created policies to harm kids.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
So now there has to be a stupid law, because it is a stupid law. We shouldn't have to have this law.
No. Yeah. It shouldn't need to exist.
It shouldn't need to exist.
Sure.
And it exists because uneducated, unqualified people were in charge of making policy.
Oh, and it exists because somebody decided, you know, this is a way I can get parents riled up.
Yep.
Yeah.
This did not come from, you know, grassroots. This didn't come from parents seeing a problem in their community and complaining.
It's like
what Ben said.
Yes. Like, I don't know if you listened to the first half, but Ben was saying that it's these guys creating a problem.
Yes.
Or creating a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Looking for the problem, creating a solution for a problem that doesn't exist.
So for our listeners, can we go back and talk about, because again, this is convoluted. A lot of people might not even understand anything about what we're talking about. Do we have a break coming? No. Okay. So if we can go back to Anderson's beginning and how this began in layman's terms, like let's explain it to people as easy, simply as we can.
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay. So a couple of years ago, we our board flipped. We got some new people. I had no idea who Moms for Liberty even was. I didn't know this group existed. And we had policies in place that seemed to be working just fine. Like if we had a trans student who, went and talked to a teacher or whatever, wanted to come out at school, wanted to change their pronouns, anything like that, the policy that existed said that parents would be notified when appropriate with the student involved. Students, counselors, everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And again,
they would be included in a team.
Yes.
They would create a team.
Yes.
And it would include parents.
Yes.
Literally, it says include parents when appropriate. Because they wanted to leave room for the kids where it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right.
We're protecting children.
Yes.
Which is common practice.
Yes. Yes.
And it was
the perfect
very long
policy.
Time. Mm-hmm. And anyone who works with children, sadly, knows that that's necessary.
Right, right. And the there was never a complaint made.
No.
There was never anything to bring this about.
Nope.
Nothing
mm-hmm.
happened here in Shasta County.
No
that
parent
made...
filed a complaint stating that they were not told that their child was using a different pronoun or a different
but
name.
But what did happen?
What did happen?
Yeah.
What do you
Chino
mean?
Chino passed a policy and you heard about it.
Kind of. But yeah. Why did Chino pass a policy? Well, like the big deal. Moms for Liberty.
Yeah. They at their... You know, at their convention last year, they already been talking about it before that, though. They just, Jay Richards, who used to work for Heritage and Leadership Institute.
Heritage Foundation. Yeah.
This was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, so, this is it. We can get people riled up with this issue. They're constantly searching for what will get people worked up, right? And loud and keep their base like frothing at the mouth and screaming.
Yeah.
And so they kept searching for issues once COVID and like masking sort of died down because that really invigorated them and got them mobilized. So then they're searching for an issue and, you know, they tried book banning. It's less popular, a CRT ban. Again, it didn't take hold everywhere. Mm-hmm. And now they found this, you know, transgender issue and this issue of gender identity being a problem in schools.
Yes.
And it wasn't there, but again, they found this way to capitalize on fears that I think parents have normally, right? Like, you know, there's this period when your kids are in adolescence and they're kind of like gaining independence from you and not talking to you as much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they capitalize on that period of parenting where it's sort of a little bit scary that your kid isn't telling you everything anymore.
And they also hijacked the our rights.
Yeah.
Parental rights. The Trump campaign.
Yeah.
And
Virginia.
COVID.
Really
and taking away rights. Yeah. And they're like, let's capitalize on this and terrify parents and make them think they don't have any more rights.
Teachers are lying and keeping secrets from us.
And it's brilliant, though, really. Because
it is.
What parent doesn't want parent rights,
for
right?
Sure.
So it was brilliant to do that. But they don't really need parent rights. And I think that's what one thing that our Schools USA has tried to put out often, and we need to do it more again, I think, because we've been saying it so long. We think everyone knows. But it's only about the rights of certain parents.
Right, 100%.
And it's actually about removing choices and rights for everybody. They're not adding. They're about taking away choices.
Yes.
They're just packaging it in a way that people think they agree. And I think the other issue here is that, you know, the percent of people that fall into this category of transgender is so small that it's like the low-lying fruit.
Right. Yeah. Well, our board chair stated on the news yesterday, this was her statement. The board has no plans to change any policy with regard to parental notification. Through policy and resolutions, we have proven we will stand by a parent's right to be involved in every aspect of their child's education. We have never argued with that.
We want you to be pleased.
Yes, absolutely. But when you're asking me, like, I keep going to the hypothetical of actually, like, logistically, what does this look like? Mm-hmm. Logistically. So I have a student come to me and say, I want to be called a different name. And now I am supposed to simply write a letter home. And that That comes in the mail?
I think we veered off. No. I think we missed the step where we had this original policy, and then what happened?
Did you implement it ever in Anderson?
So that's where we're missing.
What do you mean? I don't know where you're going
about the parental policy. I don't think we talked about that.
Did it actually get implemented in Anderson? Because many, many districts in California adopted it. They said, we approved this policy, but we need administrative regulations. And for those not involved in education, that means like what it looks like in practice on the school.
Yes.
Site. Like the exact procedure so that everyone's doing it the same way.
Right.
Because Chino's policy that became the sort of blueprint and copied statewide, even if it got tweaked a little, did not come with administrative regulations. So what we have seen in many, many districts, in fact, if you tell me you implemented it, this would be news to me.
It was not implemented. No.
Yeah. Because what I've seen is they adopt it and then they all just let it sit.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we did it, but they never actually started the process of notifying anybody.
Because
so it actually never went into effect.
Because it's not really about that. Yes, and it's not really about that. It's about these dog whistles. It's about getting people, like you said, getting people riled up and starting this narrative that public school is bad. Public school, we're taking your kids and we're turning them against you, and public school is bad, public school is bad. And when you go backwards and you try to look at, well, who benefits from demolishing public schools? Not our communities, for sure. Not our kids, for sure. So that's where we have issues. Okay, sorry. So anyway, she makes this statement, and I, as a teacher, I'm thinking, okay, they continue to say that they don't want government involved with their students. And yet they want me to have this conversation with them about their child.
With your government, because you are a governmental employee.
Right.
And they want to drop you into the middle of this family dynamic that you don't know what's happening. I hear from, because of how public I am and obviously because I run the nonprofit, I hear from families all the time where there is a dynamic where one parent knows and the other doesn't know
yet.
And so that family is sort of navigating this, and whether they be working with mental health professionals or they're just working together with whatever parent knows or not to get to the place for the other parent to know too. I see that it's not uncommon for that to be the scenario. And so now you're going to do this notification and you're going to like drop a bomb in this house, right?
Yes.
I literally had a mom send me an email telling me, or a message telling me, you have like, thank you so much for all of your work on the Safety Act. You have literally like brought my house, saved my house, my home. Like you have allowed it to remain peaceful moving forward, because I think I would have to get a divorce otherwise.
Yeah. Well, and they like to bring it all the way to the other end. Like, well, if you're worried about the child being murdered, then you should be reporting that to CPS. That's not what we're saying.
Crazy.
That is not what we are saying about it being unsafe for the child. I mean, that could be obviously the worst case scenario, but we're talking about, that is such a sensitive topic, gender and sexuality. As a teenager, having that conversation with a parent, with a guardian, I have tons of students that are in temporary care, that are living with an aunt, an uncle, they are not in a safe space to have that conversation, and certainly not for me to send a letter home like it's a report card in the mail. Somebody said that to me. Well, kids get in trouble for their report cards. You still send those.
But this
those
isn't
home.
Something to get in trouble
no,
for. I think
that's
the other thing.
The
is
other
that
part of it,
there is this
right?
underlying, you know, belief that they're built. Mm-hmm. They're building this upon that it's a negative thing.
Right.
And the act of being trans in and of itself is not negative. And therein lies part of the difference in, you know, how they're approaching this.
Yes.
And we know that's how they approach it. I mean, look at the things they say publicly. The school board members who are passing these policies, if you look at their public statements, it's very clear that these policies have been passed with discriminatory intent.
Right.
And that will not change no matter the language. If they try to, you know, rework the language, so that it's more legally sound. Right. That does not change the fact that this is coming from a place of discrimination and mm-hmm. believing that transgender does not exist.
Right.
And in fact, the new lawsuit. So Chino, I don't know if you've already discussed that today. You know that Chino signed on to a new lawsuit without yeah. a public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a handful of parents on it too. And that filing says that we believe there's only two genders mm-hmm. and you are born mm-hmm. in the gender you stay in. And basically we believe transgender doesn't exist. That's our religious beliefs. And that's why we have to know. That's the legal argument being right. put forth
right.
in their filing.
Yeah.
And that's what is in Project 2025. Yeah. I believe this is a twofold, mm-hmm. right? They want this to get to SCOTUS. So they're going to try.
Right.
They're going to hope it gets to SCOTUS yeah. so that they can set up a legal avenue, like the legal justification for Project 2025 being implemented if they are to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And also Liberty Justice Center is grifting off of this.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, this is the yeah. ultimate grift. We have a link on our district website to donate to Liberty Justice Center.
Oh, my God.
I wonder how much money they've made.
Yeah. How do we find that out?
Well,
are they a nonprofit?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Oh,
yeah.
So then it's public record.
And, yeah. And they are representing our school board, just to be clear on that.
They oh, you did up. Sign on for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, and this is where we need to all be, like, cross-looking at mm-hmm. the contracts we have with them.
So we only have 5 minutes left. So let's talk about some action and how can you give us some advice for how parents, community members, all of us could get involved to help stop this takeover of our
schools. It's going to cost our schools a lot of money going down this road. Yeah.
First, let's start by saying it has not been free for Chino, regardless of Liberty Justice signing on. We mm-hmm. also paid a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Second, our contract does not – fees that are incurred outside of lawyers' hours are on the district. So if there is a countersuit after where we have to pay back the legal fees of the site if we lose, that's on the district.
Mm-hmm.
So to be clear, it's not free.
Right.
I think that, you know, there's hours put in and resources put into, and that's not free.
Right.
First off, I think first and foremost, you want to get your school board flipped.
Yes.
So for any community that has this happening, the best possible scenario for you to stop this and get this out of your district is to elect pro public education school board candidates. Find them, get them elected, work together with your community to get them elected,
mm-hmm.
Reach out to the organizations that are helping pro public education candidates. Like
and if there's
schools,
anyone local listening tonight that would like to run for a school board position, we have 70, right?
Yeah, in 70 open
70 in our
positions.
County.
Mm-hmm. And I will make a little, since we have 3 minutes, I'll make a little plug for that. I'm also part of Shasta United for Public Education, which mm-hmm. is a political action committee whose whole goal is to help recruit school board candidates that are there for the children, public education, teachers, pro-public education that aren't there for alternative culture wars. And we've done a really good job recruiting already. So we have candidates that will be coming forth for some of the positions, and we intend to fully back them as much as we can. We'll be helping with registration for their packet, with candidate statements, with social media, with branding, all of these kind of things. We have a great group of people that are willing to support. So if you're interested.
And the deadline is coming up quickly.
Yeah. It's coming up August 9th.
August
9th. I think
is
the very last day.
Yes. Yep.
So we August need 9th. To know like at least a week in advance if you're going to run. So.
Yes. I believe that's the same day for us as state because that's the same day in my county also.
Yeah.
So top priority is to get a pro public education school board majority. And the next thing I would say is educate your community on what is happening. Check out, our Schools USA, we have a lot of resources that you can start sharing publicly, but every single person, even if you're not have a chapter of our schools, you still can be sharing in your own social media and your own circles. We all are influencers. And so educating yourself on what is happening and then sharing with others, because what we are seeing across the state is that when parents and community members are educated on what is happening to our public schools, they do not like it. Yeah. Okay, we do
we're
not want
end right
our
now.
School board
thank you.
To wait.
That's perfect timing, Christy. Thank you. We are getting kicked off the air right now. Thank you so much. And we look
we
forward
appreciate
to
you.
Talking to you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.